हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो सत्प्रिय सर फ्रॉम द उत्तर विवाह एंड भोजनम ऑनरिंग प्रसाद। द ग्रूम शुड टेक महाप्रसादम राइस सेइंग द फॉलोइंग मंत्रस। बाय दिस महाप्रसादम द थ्रेड ऑफ लाइफ बाय विष्णु बाय द नॉट ऑफ द हाईएस्ट ट्रूथ I bind your mind and heart. Yeah. So thread of life means thread is what holds things together. There's so many elements that are there in life, but without prasad, not, you can't hold any of it together, right? So then it gives energy. It gives the maintenance of the body, the mind, everything is coming by that, and then by Vishnu, because eating, it's all, he is the Mahaprasadam, he is the digestion. So if things don't digest properly, then your health is not good. So it's only by his grace that it goes on. By the knot of the highest truth, so then you see is that you have the knot, how you say, in the navel that holds all the life airs and everything together. And that then you see in the context of the Supreme Lord. And then we say highest truth. So depending on who you are, then the Karmis, highest truth is the heavenly planets. The Jnanis, the highest truth is Brahman. The Yogis, the highest truth is Paramatma. But the actual highest truth is then Bhagavan, is Krishna. Right?
Also,
And
Maharaj,
so, yes.
Yeah, here it said about binding mind and heart. Just as
Yes.
Bhagavatam says, when one eats, then he is simultaneously released from the freedom of hunger, nourished and satisfied. All three happen simultaneously.
Ah, yes, yes. Okay, so then the satisfaction is there, yeah? And that,
satisfaction
and
spiritual nourishment is for the heart, and also mind is freed from hunger, then it's peaceful.
Yes, yes, yes. And you see here, because he's mentioned saying this, I think, to the wife. Then she is satisfied, she is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He is satisfied, he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Yeah, so that's the thing in the Vedic thing, because everything's connected. All the different things are connected, and so it's just like fire is burning, the fire element, but it's burning within the earth elements, transforming earth element. From, an earth element has fire in it, that could come out of the wood, but then, it still remains as earth. But the fire and then the water, so without that, then the things don't grow. Without that, there's no nourishment. Nothing is growing. The life airs, because the air, then everything is moved, because also without the air, then there isn't anything. That's the life force and all that. So whatever it is, it's being done by that. Ether, everyone needs the space to be able to move in. That's where the communication. And through that hearing and chanting, that's for the raising of consciousness. So the five, you'll always see is overlapping. So it's not that, oh, how did you get that? Because these all connect. Means one doesn't do this for the position of mental speculation and to show off one's scholarship. This is the matter of the whole Vedic thing is connected. It's just which area it's focusing on, and then everything else circles around that. Because if you have Krishna, everything comes out from Krishna, right? So if Krishna is the Mahaprasad, you see everything connected there. If Krishna is the life force, he's connected there. He's the digestion, it's all connected out of there. He's the highest truth, it's connected there. He's the one who's, binding the mind and heart, through the nourishment, the satisfaction, the spiritual. Then the mind able to focus on that, and by taking prasad, you're associated with Krishna, and then it goes out from there. The point is Krishna is always the center, no matter where you take. And so then all these little aspects of Krishna's center, if you see, that's why then if you're working on the Brahman platform, then certain things will become and certain things won't, because they're using a different aspect of Krishna's Brahman as center. So Krishna is the center, but you're seeing that element of Brahman, especially if you're not even seeing as Brahman, you're just seeing the detail of the material energy. Then you're only seeing that as the center. You know, like someone's into politics, someone's into their senses, someone's into economics, someone's into justice, you know, someone's into the religious element because of the benefits they get, or someone's into the liberation for the benefits they get. So they only see their aspect, and everything else doesn't matter because they are centering it around them. What they don't know is they're centering it on Krishna, but they're working at the lowest levels. So even with Brahman, then they're working in these, you know, lower levels. So it's only then the aspect of God controls all these things, you can bring it together, but then they're looking at the specific aspect of what's being controlled like that. And so then you have to come up to the point of Bhagavan, where it's the person, and all these are features expanding from himself and all connecting to himself, with himself as the center, not us. Then you can hold all the things together. Then it doesn't matter what the religious process, what is this and that. The devotee can see it all in connection with Krishna, and he has no problem, you know, interacting with whoever it is on their platform where they're seeing Krishna and trying to bring them forward. Yes? No?
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe? Okay. That's the whole thing, is that the Vedic system, it's a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva. It's something like Krishna, and at the same time, it's separate from Krishna. It's two, because his energies are different from him. They're non-different from him, but still, he is a person. As an individual, is different. So then you have his identity as Brahman and God. You have his individuality, you know. So that aspect of appreciating individuality holds all the other features together. It's the source. Okay, then with the second mantra, what is your heart? Let that be my heart. What is my heart? Let that be yours. Right? So now that means where you're looking at the element of the relationship there, and of the sharing and all these kind of aspects. So that's, you know, is a good quality. And so that good qualities all are coming from Krishna. Krishna, all good qualities represent Krishna. The bad qualities means a lack of the good. Negative means lack of the positive. It's not that it's a separate entity on itself. Like an atheist is just someone who's not theistic. It's not that atheism stands on its own, because their only claim to fame is that they don't believe in God. Right? That's the position. So the positive qualities are there. And so therefore, is that you're saying, what is my heart? Let that be yours, and your heart be mine. Then it has to be something that's actually can be common. And the living entities are, you know, their Krishna consciousness, their relationship with the Lord. That's the common element. So may they be cooperative in Krishna consciousness. And it's natural that you look, that we see, you know, that's why they do charts on that in marriages, so that the secondary, the religious aspects that they're naturally inclined towards, and that then are related to, are common, you know, are compatible. That's the main thing, is they're compatible. So the whole idea is that if we're making about Krishna consciousness the main thing, and that we're cooperating together, there has to be that consciousness and effort to do that. As we saw in the previous one, then you're establishing that you have the energy, you have the dynamic aspect, then you're focused on the absolute truth like that, and there's satisfaction, and there's that, you know, commitment to the spiritual development. Those things being there, then what is there is what is there in the heart. That then will be common between the two. So that means Krishna consciousness is always going to be common, but that the secondary, that they're engaging in Krishna's service, that should also be compatible. And they should be endeavoring to see that that works, right? It's not about oneself. It's about pleasing Krishna and serving. So you're using a particular secondary elements. The partner is using the secondary elements. They're compatible, then they can work together. So, but there has to be a consciousness that it should be like that. Okay. Right? So it's not just, oh, it'll just happen on its own, you know, like that. Because we saw before from the Kama Stuti, you know, love is coming, is going to love, you know, and where's the coming from, the ocean of love and going back to love. And so that means love functions on its own. Yes. So we think it just happens, but unless you want to be part of it, it doesn't happen to you. It doesn't happen through you. So you have to want to be part, just like their service. You want to be part of it, then you're involved in it. You don't want to be part of it, then you're not. It doesn't mean that love doesn't exist. It's not dependent on us like that, because natural love means love for Krishna. If you love Krishna, then all other living entities being part and parcel, then that is where the love for everyone else then comes up. So in here, seeing that, understanding that, then one makes that endeavor. Otherwise, the tendency is love means it's all about me. And, you know, the other person does what I like, so I love. And if they don't, then I don't love. Rather than they're engaged in Krishna service, I'm engaged in Krishna service. There's a commitment to a cooperation, therefore it works. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, next verse. This is nourishment for the five heirs of life. By this I bind you, you know, and then says the wife's name. Right? So then, yeah. Yeah, so then, you know, Prashad then will naturally be a nourishment for the five heirs of life, because the heirs are then where the energy is. But that's moving and being through the what do you call it? The body. Right. So it's just like, let's say I have a room and there's windows on both sides. The air can go through. Air just moves. There's a space, it'll go. There's no space, there's a wall, it won't move there. Air is moving. Right. Now, let's say if in the room I set up, let's say, some kind of a fan thing. Right. Then the wind blowing through can move the fan. Right. So the point is, the wind is moving, the life airs. The life airs don't need the nourishment, because that is coming from Krishna. But the point is that the life airs, specifically in our body, then they can function, and we will say that they're that. If the body is able to allow the airs to move, like when the hand moves, that's air. Because the air then pushes on fire pushes on earth, and so being made out of earth, and that moves, you know. It's just like you push on the door moves, right? But it all has to be connected. So it means you have that, the sentimental aspect, but if there isn't also the understanding of the religious and philosophical, then it will tend to be either sentimental or it'll be speculative. Like that. Yeah. The groom should eat, then the bride should eat the remnants. For 3 nights, the wife should take Mahaprasadam only and maintain Brahmacharya, sleeping on the ground, not on the bed, right? So that on the ground means on a mat or a mattress on the floor. It means you don't have the nice arrangement with the stand that it goes on the table, and then you have the big mattress and all the nice arrangements and all that. Just simple, something simple arrangement like that. That's what it is. Because here is that they're still at their parents' house, at her parents' house. Right, and it says for 3 days, because on the fourth day, then they go to the boy's house. So that means now the marriage has happened, the couple is married, both families are there at the marriage at the girl's house. So now you have this time when now the boy and girl get to know each other a bit, but they're also there, you know, mostly with the family. That's why it says sleeping on the floor. Only Brahmacharya, taking only Mahaprasadam, so that, you know, it's all based more, it's still part of the wedding ceremony, so it's still part of the vrata, and that, and then the families can get to know each other by their interaction, you know, and also if the couple is there, then the families can get to know each other through, with the couple is part of the thing. It's not just the parents are there, it's just them, you know. So there's going to be a natural what do you call it, inspiration to kind of interact, because it's based over their son or their daughter, you know, and then all the relatives. So it just, in other words, it brings together the big family. The marriage brings together two families. That's the element that it does. So that's why the importance, that's why it's a big ceremony. That's why it has all these things, because you have the first 3 days, then you have the preliminaries, 2 days of preliminaries. That means they arrive on the one day, you do preliminaries, the next day, the third day, you do the wedding, then fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh day, you know, the four, then, I don't know, let's see, no, fourth day is the wedding. No, because it's the fourth, it's after the wedding. So the wedding's the first, then second, third, fourth. So four, three, two, one. Okay, so that means on the fourth day is the wedding. So you have 1 day they arrive, and all that, 2 days for, you know, any preliminaries and people getting adjusted and all that, and whatever has to be done for the wedding. And that, then you have the wedding, you know, so it's right in the middle, you know, and then you have the next 2 days where they're all together and that. And then on the fourth day, then, you know, they have the morning, and then the girl leaves, right? Does that make sense? And now when they go to the boy's house, generally the girl's family is not there. They just stay at their house. They go back to there. And then you have, when they come there, then you have a reception and those kind of things, where then the boy's family that are not so close that they would have gone to the wedding with the family, then they're there. And then all the, you know, acquaintances, so all that, they all come, and then they see. So that means the village they're from now gets to come and see the girl and all that.
Maharaj,
so then, yes, please.
Ideally, actually, they don't even go immediately to the boy's home. First 3 days, you're supposed to, 3 nights, you're supposed to stay in a temple. And then you go. That was earlier tradition.
Oh, okay.
So here it's mentioned next about taking Mahaprasadam for 3 nights. That is accomplished by staying in temple for 3 nights.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then they go the fourth day after that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so this is the Vedic gives the general things of what to do. And then depending upon the, you know, the particular community and their area, then they're going to apply this particularly. You know, because it makes sense if you're doing like that and that, then you stay in that kind of environment. Like that. But at the same time, is that it is the time for the family to interact. So there has to be that arrangement also. So you have to just see that all that goes on. So each community will have its way that it works it out.
Yes.
You know? And so then, yeah, because South tends to be more of a Brahminical kind of cultural environment. So then this appears to be how they're working it out. You know, North will have a different mood. Bengal will have a different mood, so then they'll all, you know, all this is accomplished. Even when Vatsyayana is talking about after marriage, and then, you know, and he's talking about the sensual elements and the emotional elements in the family life, and he also mentions this part about that that they're celibate also for that time. You know, so it's just a standard things. Nothing is what is established as a standard is not broken by another branch of the Vedic knowledge. You know, the 14 books, they're all consistent with each other. So it's not that, it's not like modern science where one branch of science says one thing, and when they have a new theory, then they throw out the old one, and then another disciplined branch of knowledge might take that up as their new theory. But it's already been rejected by another one. So there's no consistency throughout them. They have their academic method, which is common, but what knowledge they're actually working on, and that doesn't have any consistency necessarily. It's not written in that it must be, but in the Vedic, it'll all be consistent. Yeah. Okay. Yana Arohana, mounting the vehicle for traveling to the husband's house. On the fourth morning after the wedding, the husband should lead the wife to a vehicle, saying, right, you know, a vehicle means, you know, whatever it's going to be, right? Because if they're going long distance, there may be, you know, a variety of vehicles. But we see for the brahmachari, when he's graduating, then the vehicle is a bullock cart, and there's a bull there because there's mantras for the bull and the wheels and all these kinds of things. Okay, then he says, "O effulgent woman, mount this golden well-made carriage with fine wheels containing the whole universe, the source of immortality, bright as the sun, make it carry you to your husband's house," right? So effulgent woman, well, one is that, you know, as he mentions, she's property of Lord Vishnu and all that. But now that she's married and all that, you'll generally see that there's generally an effulgence in the woman, the family being together, this whole thing. Then, you know, and purification that comes from it like that. And, you know, it should be a nice arrangement, as good as it can, you know, because otherwise, you know, you just don't get something too shoddy, you know, like that. With fine wheels, you know, meaning it will carry one and all that. So it's carrying more, containing the whole universe like that, because there's the concept that one is going to travel. It's not just traveling to the husband's house. Is following that path that he's following. That's what I mentioned in the wedding, you know, that made the path, you know, that my husband follows be prepared for me, because the ideas are going back to Godhead. So this is the thing. Now they're continuing on that path. It started here. She was here and that grew up here, got trained here in the father's house. Now with the husband coming and the family, now she then after the marriage then goes to his house, and then they continue from there back to Godhead. Source of immortality, right? So that's the whole point of the whole universe, is that anything in the universe, everything you're connected to will be used for Krishna. You know, bright as the sun, because then when you're dealing with Brahman, with the spiritual, then Krishna is, you know, effulgent, the Bhagavatam, the soul, all these things are as bright as the sun. Make it carry you to your husband's house. Right. So then she should be, in other words, she's also committed to this. So she understands this and what's going on, that she wants to go. It's not that it wasn't a plan. That's why you don't see this mantra in the kidnapping ceremony, like the Kshatriyas, they go and catch the girl. It's not that, you know, okay, say this mantra. No, you get on the chariot, you go, because the army's following you. And if they don't, they may catch you or kill you. So they just go. So that's why this marriage, the Brahma marriage, is considered the superior, because all the elements considered in marriage are brought out, while in others, they tend to be a little bit less. It means either in the four, you know, pious ones, you know, or the better ones, superior ones, they're all going to be using this ceremony, but the mentality of them being involved is going to be slightly less and less. Then in the four secondary marriages, then it's going to be about buying the girl. It's going to be about kidnapping the girl. It's going to be about mutual consent based on sense gratification, or it's not mutual. It's only based on sense gratification. So those kind of elements then are less superior, you see, in the consciousness. But we see here the marriage ceremony, everything's on the, you know, the best platform. And all the elements are brought out. So now that's then they get into the chariot or wherever they're going, their Uber or whatever it is, and then they start down the road. Now at the crossing of four roads, wherever that happens, right, then they should say, "May those that oppose the couple not succeed. May we pass the hard journey pleasantly. May the foes melt away." Right? So, because when you have the crossroads, then that's that point where they cross, the middle of that, that's where the yaksha can sit, right? That's their spot, right? You know, it's just like you know, see in so many places, they have special seats reserved for, let's say, handicapped or this or that, or you have special place for, like, say, the speaker, that's their seat or their place to stand, or you know, whatever it is that's reserved, that the center, that's why you see all these accidents happen in the middle of the road, right? They generally don't happen a little this way or a little that way. They generally happen right in the middle, because that's where the yaksha sits. And so that's why in the Vedic, you don't have technically a crossroad. Crossroad would be generally a more minor road or something like that. Or means a proper road would have a roundabout in the middle. because then the yaksha can sit in the middle. You have both the roads coming, but you don't they don't cross the path where the yaksha is. They go around, right? And that's also, you're supposed to go around clockwise, like in the other than England, then the Commonwealth, then they go around counterclockwise. So you're not respecting properly the yaksha, you know, or the people that you're going by. So that would be there. So when you come to that point where there is a crossroad, you say this, right? So though, because then that will be obstacles, right? Those that oppose the couple not succeed, right? Means they have whatever their own reason. They don't like one of them or the other of them, or they don't like both of them. They can't succeed. May we pass the hard journey pleasantly, right? Means because the journey to go, you know, through, you know, any kind of situation in the material world is going to be tough, and overcoming the material influence to go back to Godhead is going to be difficult, but pleasantly. It doesn't say, may there be no, though there won't be any hardships. It just says those who oppose won't be successful. It doesn't say the opposed will go away, right? At this point. And so, and that the journey is going pleasantly, even though it may be difficult, because of the relationship strong and all that, and one's focused on Krishna, then these are just various things that come up in the performance of one's duties, like that. And now it says, may the foes melt away. Just means we don't see them. They don't, they're not a problem for us, because we're engaged in this, going the journey, and it's pleasant. That makes sense. So they're not an importance for us. And for them, you know, things aren't working for them, so they may also give up. Okay, stepping from the vehicle, that means once they arrive, the groom should sing the Vamadevi Ganam, right? Because Vamanadeva, then it's talking about also that it's making these three steps, but it's also to anything that's gone wrong in the performance of any ritual or ceremony, then once begging for forgiveness there. He should lead the bride to his house. Some married woman with children should seat the bride comfortably, and the groom will say, here may the cows, the horses, and the men multiply with offspring. Here may Vishnu, worship with love, remain glorious. Right? So then there's going to be, in the performance of their duties and the successful elements of the household life, means you're going to see is the, you know, the environment of it. You see there's cows, horses, and so many persons in the family, that they're there, because if they're there, that means things are going nicely. If things aren't going nicely, it all dissipates. So it means it's there. How, and you know, that point they have offspring, and Vishnu is worshiped with love and remains glorious. So they may always see Krishna as in their hearts as glorious, means, in other words, he's always glorious, but when, if I'm saying may he be glorious, means I always perceive him as glorious. Because as soon as I don't perceive him as glorious, I don't want him to be glorious, but he still is glorious. So the point is only when we see him as glorious, then we have that element that it's going to be nice, like that. That's a very big fat Oriole, the bright kind of yellow birds, like that. He's making all that noise. So then, and so that he remains glorious, because that means I'm always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then, how is that? By worshiping with love, then I can maintain that. And that, so then here may Vishnu, he's the actual source. When he's there, when he's pleased, we'll be pleased. If we're pleased, there's offspring. If there's offspring, then the cows, horses, and men, everything will be fine. So we see it starts from, if we consistently worship Krishna with love, means we're stable, then everything else, all the secondary, comes naturally. Right? So that means it's not just about the primary and not secondary, because otherwise there's no need to get married. It's not just about the secondary, no primary, because then it's not human life. Right? Like that. So Driti Homa, entering the house. Entering his house, the groom should perform all the Kushandika rites. up to the end of Virupaksha Japa, establishing the fire named Driti. Right, so this is Driti Homat, and the fire is Driti. So they've done the main yajna, you know, for the wedding ceremony, and then it's all this little yajnas in between, secondary. That's finished. Then they did the Uttara Vivaha in the evening. They did one, and then saw the stars. Going to his house, then you're doing now the homa for entering the house. He should then do silent homa with ghee-soaked wood and vyasta samasta vyarati, mahavyarati homa. Then he will offer 8 oblations of ghee, saying, may constancy reign in this house, right? You know, so that there's always that proper, you know, mentality, dignity, that their people are dealing, you know, appropriately, you know, following their duties, maturity, wisdom, you know, all these kind of things. So no one's just being crazy and making it all about themselves. Second oblation, may self-control reign in this house. So one's dignified, and then one keeps that self-control, and one doesn't get, you know, tries to avoid the anger, at the frustration, you know, from, in other words, not dealing properly, then, you know, then that makes it hard to control oneself. But if one controls, then everything goes nicely, the duties go nicely. Third, may there be delight here. May, you know, people be inspired and happy with how things are going. And, you know, so that this is, you know, everything's going nice. The work is going nice, the interaction, you know, then, you know, things of the house, you know, the food, the children, the worship, the maintenance, all the different elements, you know, taking care of the guests. All these things will be going nicely. So that will naturally bring delight. Right? Please enjoy this house. So that means then, if you're enjoying the house, that means then there's, you know, there's a comfortable comfort there, and that may there's a satisfaction is there, and so that means the situation that the house here, this is good. This is good. We'll want to be stable and steady there. You don't have to think about something else beyond that. That itself is everything expands out from there. Right. And so then one's enjoying. So the enjoyment also is that third element, you know, the Satchidananda aspect. So it's not, it means the enjoyment's actually going to be in connection with the Lord. That's the real enjoyment. But the secondary is going nicely. One is very comfortable with that. So the delight will be the inspiration and all that, you know, more the Prajumna aspect, and the enjoy this house will be more the Aniruddha aspect. So the mind is peaceful, you know, constancy and self-control. Then these will be, you know, these aspects of that, you know, this proper understanding mood and everything like that, the Sankarshan and that. So then next, may constancy reign within me. So he's like, may constancy reign in this house. So that means everyone's this. And then he's talking about himself. It's not just may he have that kind of consistency and wisdom. May self-control prevail within me. May there be delight for me. May you find pleasure in me. Right. And so then, so he's saying all the delight, but the pleasure in me is the wife will be pleased with that. So the goal is she'll be pleased. The house will be pleased. Everything expands out from there. So Manu mentions the wife is happy. The house is bright. The wife is not happy. The house is not bright. But as is pointed out here, it's not that it means. So that means the husband has to be, you know, self-controlled, performing his duties, seeing everything centered nicely around how the household around Krishna and then around all the different personalities in the house. So that's why then he is able to maintain that, you know. And so then because at this time, technically, then much of the time you see within a short time, the parents will take up vanaprastha as soon as the grandchildren are there. Then they start getting into those things. It's also been a bit of time, you know, managing everything, running the household, then the son has been doing that. And so then it'll work nice. And that way then parents can spend some time there and then some time out, you know, half the time there, half the time out, traveling, going to holy places, engaging in, you know, nice, you know, attending big festivals and, you know, doing whatever they want to do for the spiritual. And the responsibility of running the household then becomes the sons, right? But here is that it may be pleasure to me. If she's happy, then everything else will go out from there and will be because then all these other aspects there. So he sees that it's not just he's telling the wife that has to be, he's saying that I should be have that qualification where she then is happy. Yes, Mr. K.C. Das.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Janma Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
It also mentions that Dhriti represents Mahalakshmi as a Griha Lakshmi. And it also explains that now, you know, because he brought her as his wife, but now is giving the responsibility of the house officially to the girl and making her the Griha Lakshmi.
Very nice point.
It's one of the names of Lakshmi Devi, which represents courage, steadiness, command, determination, all those kind of elements, virtue, patience.
So then that leaves the constancy and the self-control. And if that's there, then there'll be delight and they'll enjoy this house.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll enjoy if Krishna's enjoying. So that means also the service to the deities are going on nicely. You know, everything's centering around Krishna. So he's happy. So you're happy. Very nice. Very, very nice. Yeah. What we should see is that all these nice points are all brought out. You know, I mean, so you have the one here for doing all the things, but then we have that one that's bigger that has all the details of, you know, all the background of all the rituals and mantras and wording and everything like that. You know, that Vagishu is, I think he put together. We can start working from that. Okay, so that's interesting. So that first may constantly, so that means it's directed at her, that the whole house, but then she's in charge of that, and that he himself, as being in charge of her being in charge, then he has all those same elements. So it's, in other words, it's for the wife, and then how it's managed, it works, and then for the husband, that he functions in that way, so that means then she'll be able to do it in that way. And we saw before is that in the Panigrahana, then afterwards with the blessings and all that, holding the hands, then he makes the point, he says about, you know, be the, what is it, not the master, please, the board, master, what's the term used? Panigrahana here. Be the ruler of your husband's father, be the ruler of your husband's mother, be the ruler of your husband's sisters, be the ruler of your husband's brothers. Right? So that's going to be, there's a constancy, because it mentioned there, may your heart be fixed on my life's goals, may your mind follow after mine. Like that. May Vishnu join us together. Yeah. So then that's going to happen because of that devotion to the Lord, that, you know, the good qualities there, the constancy, the self-control, then it's going to be through that affection and the proper performance of duties, then that all will be brought together very nicely. But, yeah, so you see is that all these are all consistent with each other. They all connect to each other. It's not that they're just separate things. They're bringing out different aspects of it. So then, yeah, so she becomes the Griha Lakshmi. So she's the Griha Lakshmi. That means technically the mother-in-law is not the Griha Lakshmi anymore. Yes. That's why then they go and take Vanaprast and go and spend some time out. So then they're the guests at the house when they come back. You know, they may stay for some time. I remember one devotee, Indian background, then after getting married, and, you know, I've been married for some while, then he asked, very senior devotee, it might have even been Krishnadas Swami, you know, from England, and like that, also Indian background. I think he was working in Dwarka with the Dwarka temple. He was involved there. So, because he was always working, he worked with him a lot on that Dwarka aspect. He asked him one day, you know, what's the you know, because he had been coming to the house, he'd stay and all that. And now as they're getting older in the household life, then he asked, you know, what, how to make things work nicely, you know, because things get old and all that. And, you know, everything's just regular and you don't put your effort into it or, you know, inspired. He says that the husband should be always busy. He says, best is that, you know, for your work and other, you know, all those things that are there, you go out, you're out for part of the month. He had mentioned out for 2 weeks, back 2 weeks. So this devotee was thinking, you know, because he's, no, he wasn't. Yeah, I'm not sure where he would have been, maybe if he was in his 30s or early 40s, maybe, or something, maybe in the 40s. Then he said, you know, and, you know, and he said, you know, he thought, wow, that's weird. So, but, you know, he had, because doing his business and that, he was, he'd go out, buy stock, bring it back, you know, do all this and that. And, you know, while you're out, you go to this place and you drop in on Vrindavan, or this place and drop in on, you know, the temple in Tirupati or this or that, wherever it is, because he'd travel all over and do things and that. And so then he tried it and it worked really well. Because if you're always there, it becomes very normal. So he's out for 2 weeks, you know, because it's already, things are going well and all that, you know, so it's everything set up. Then when he gets back, then it's kind of special. And then 2 weeks, it goes nicely, and then it starts to drop off, and he's out again, right? And then once the kids grow up and get married, right? And so like that, now they take charge of running the house, and the main thing centered around them, not about the parents sending her. You know, so when they become grandparents, that's the time, then they start going out and then they start spending more time out. You know, so now as they go together, unless if the mother wants to stay, I mean, grandmother wants to stay, she can, the husband will go out. And then sometimes the grandfather, grandmother, both will go out, you know, or they always go out, or they spend more time out and less time, and whatever it is, it can all be, all that can be worked out. But the point is this aspect of the Griha Lakshmi. Yeah. So then it's very clear who's in charge. So being senior doesn't make you in charge. Just like there's the temple president. He's in charge of the temple. Right? There's no question about it. Now there may be senior devotees in the yatra, but that doesn't mean they tell him what to do. You know, they naturally will have some maturity, they'll have wisdom that can be taken advantage of, or they're giving instruction because they have more experience and they want the benefit to be there for the junior person, or the, you know, in this case, just junior, not meaning in position, but in experience or things like that. And so for his, you know, as well-wishers, they'll say something, but it's for their well-wishers, not to establish their position and authority and make them feel good. We have to remember that the Vedic system of brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas is to advance in spiritual life and go back to Godhead. It's not a system on how I become more and more in control and make it more and more about myself. Yes, no?
Yes,
Mr. Casey Das wanted to say something.
No, Marsh.
Okay. So in other words, it has to be seen as that it has to be a positive input centered around the couple now that the mother-in-law is giving her input. If she thinks it's about her, it's her house, and she's about, no, when son gets married, it then starts that now he's the one being trained to do it. Now, seeing that they should do nicely, they, you know, want to be successful, then she trains them, but it's not about herself. It's about handing on, what do you call it? Handing on the torch or like that. You know, they've been carrying the torch. Now it's passing on the torch. Yes. So I think it's handing the baton, right? But passing on the torch like that. But these things were, no, they're in charge. They're going to do their things like that. This is,
and actually, in the traditionally, the hand over the keys, mother.
The hand over the keys. Yeah.
Keys for the lock.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is we forget that it's about spiritual life. Yes, you are senior. There's no question. Mother and father and teacher will be respected through life, but the same time as that doesn't mean they're your managerial authority. That has to be understood. And if they don't understand it, it's a lack of piety. Ah, I found it. I was trying to say what the mentality was. I was using a more negative term, but I came to a more positive one. They're lacking in, you know, pious qualifications to perform that duty. Wow. Yeah, took 50 years, but this is the first time I was able to do it. Not get all grumpy and like that. Okay. Yes, and so then after that, then is the Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa, and then he does offers the ghee-soaked fire into the Amatrika Homa. Raja gives salutations to his family, stating her father's gotra. Then she says, I, named of that of what gotra, pay my respects to you. Right? Because the thing is she'll take up his gotra, but she's coming from that. She's introducing herself, and now she becomes part of that. He should now perform all the rites of Aditya Karma, beginning with Satyayana up to the end of Amitadeva, and present gifts to the priests and the Vaishnavas, right? So that's when they arrive, right? Then the Chaturthi. Oh, here's after the Dhriti on the fourth day. So here they've gone to the house. Here they've gone after the wedding. Because it's mentioning after the Dhriti home on the fourth day. Oh, no, that means after the driti on the fourth day after the marriage. So in other words, they went to the home, they did the yana rohana, they did the driti, and now at some other point then they'll do this chaturthi homa, or is it that the driti is done, then they travel to the home, then it's done then there. So does that mean that the time spent at the home is that last 4 days? I mean, those last 3 days then are traveling to and being at the home of the husband. Anyone have any comments on that? Because I always understood it that these were done on that day, but it seems that it's two separate yajnas that could be done together, but it can also be done at two different times. Yes? No?
What is the significance of Chaturthi home?
Chaturthi. This is then purifying the girl of anything that's going to get in the way of performance of their duties and all that in the home. And it goes into everything. And then after that, they go. So it could be done at this time, but at the same time, it's just a different mood, because the one is it's about how she's being welcomed to the house and that she's the new Griha Lakshmi and he's the new, you know, a person taking care of the house and their relationship, that'll be there. It'll be centered around them. The parents can then be an assistant to that by their maturity. But then now it's time for them to, you know, like we said, pass on the torch and move on into Vanaprastha and get their spiritual life together, you know. And how you say? Yeah, the going out and having, what do you call it? Kind of superficial social luncheons with your, you know, female relatives or female friends, where you all talk about how fabulous you are and everything, and trying to one up the other one because you're so much better and all that, you know, now that you're 50 years old and all that, and still trying to hold it together. All that should stop, and one should move on to Vanaprast. So that's the mood there. The Chaturthi is then about purifying the girl. So maybe they're done as separate things so that one doesn't look at it that, you know, this is about her and purifying any faults that may be there. And I've already gone through that, so I don't have that problem. She's got the problem. But this is now being there, situated now she's done this and then has that adhikar to then perform those duties. Oh well. Yeah, so okay. So then the Driti Homa, then the Kushandika writes, then we establish Sviki, then the Mahavyarati Homa. And oh, he puts in wood before. That's also interesting. Yeah, he puts in wood before. Homa and Ghi. Yeah, it means before you do the Mahavyarati, you're putting in wood, ghee-soaked wood into the fire. It's just part of the thing. So it always goes in before the Mahavyarati. You know, so it's other than the Amatrika. Amatrika is the end of the Homa before you start the Udicca Karma. But this is before you do the Mahavyarati, some wood is being put. Okay. Then, the husband should place his wife on his right side and place a pot of water mixed. Huh, yes?
So that means at the end of every Homa, then as soon as you finish, first you offer this ghee soaked wood, then you do Mahavyarati, then after that there is Amantrika.
Yes. So it appears that anytime you're doing the Mahavyarati, means anytime, let's say, if there's a run of ones that you're doing, let's say you're doing the Panchashrukta, then mm-hmm. Or meaning is that before doing the Mahavyarati, you'll put in some ghee soaked wood. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to do and then do that. And then at the end, you're going to put in some ghee soaked again, do the Mahavyarati, then go to Narayan Shukta, then again, then go like that. But at the end, when it's all finished, all of that, now you're going to go into Udicca Karma. When the particular Homa you're done, then you're going to put in that, mm-hmm. right? Does that make sense? Because we're doing a Panchashrukta Homa. Now, if we end that, and let's say after that, then we do, let's say, a Nisringa Kavacha Homa, then you could have the Amatrika and then go into, you know, because you've already done the Mahavyarti, then you do Amatrika, then you'd start the next Homa. So it just seems to be that there's before the Mahavyarta is you're always putting, and when it's the end of the run of the Homa, then you're putting. That's the Amatrika. So some before and some at the end. Does that make sense? Before Mahavyarti and at the end of the Homa. So if you know, you're always going to end with a Mahavyarati, so then the Amatrika will come after. So it'll look like you're putting some before and some after, but it's not, the Amatrika is not about the Mahavyarati. It's about when is the Mahavyarati that's the end of the Homa. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. The husband should offer oblations of ghee into the fire with the following mantras as prayaschitta to remove any elements in his wife that oppose faith in Lord Vishnu, right? So that's the purpose of this one. All right, so it's not... yes.
It's also for the Chaturthi Homa. I think there are four aspects to it, Maharaj. That's why it's called Chaturthi.
Oh, okay.
There is, you know, to have no... how to say... the elements that removes, opposes the faith in Lord Vishnu, then to remove the Avaishnavi Lakshmi, which is a personification of strike and bad luck. Then the third element is having children, and fourth is taking care of the cows. So okay. As a Grihastha, this is the four important things you should do.
Okay, first one was?
That you are behaving like a Vaishnava, so no, okay. Any element that are opposing the faith in Lord Vishnu.
Okay, non-devotional tendencies, okay. And then devotion to the Lord is the second.
Removing the bad luck, Maharaj, any variety.
Oh, bad luck. Okay. So non-Vaishnava tendencies, bad luck, then any difficulty with children or any difficulty with cows, so anything so that... one is behaves as a Vaishnav, one, you know, one is fortunate, one has children, one has, you know, wealth and cows and everything. Okay. Nice. Okay. After each of the following 20 oblations, the drops of ghee remaining in the shruva should be dipped into the water pot. Okay, so it's a sampat. Okay, so then, and what's the time now? 7:57, we have 3 minutes. Okay. Yes.
What is the significance of this putting in a separate pot of water? We are going to give that at the end to them, or?
The water will be sprinkled. Generally, okay. Whenever you want, let's say that means there's the ones where there's an oblation offered and the fire carries it to whoever it's being offered to. But then you have a specific element within the program that is going to be purified or means either they'll be purified, like in this case, where then that oblation is there and then it's also a drop is put into the water there for the sampat. And then at the end, you with the mango leaf, with that, you sprinkle it on their head. Mm-hmm. Or you have, like we see in the Nisringa Homa, we're doing that. And then afterwards, we've done all those mantras, and then those mantras in the water, then they're transferred by sprinkling that water onto the yantras and whatever yantras we've said. They've been an offering to the Nisringa Devas for his pleasure, but then they're sprinkled on the yantras, and then those yantras and mantras then reside in those yantras.
Yeah. Chaitanya Mishra has something.
Yes, Mr. Chaitanya Das.
It is also the aspect of blessings.
Because at the end of blessings. Okay.
At the end of the Chaturthi Homa, then the mother-in-law, the boy, the groom's mother, she will sprinkle the girl with this water because she has followed all these services in her life. She has remained a Vaishnava. She is, you know, because being a Dharmapatni and Grihalakshmi, then because of her presence, the bad luck is not there, taking care of cows, and obviously she has a child. So then she's giving that, the piety that she has, she is also giving that to the daughter-in-law and blessing her that just like I had it, you should have it as well.
Yeah, I mean, she carries on. So again, the passing the torch. So then there's the official, right? So I guess the father gives the keys and then the mother then sprinkles the water and blessings and hands on the...
No, Maharaj. Keys is also given by mother because lady has the keys at home.
Yeah, she runs the house. Okay, so she gives that and the keys. So sprinkle with the water, hand over the keys.
Okay. Maharaj said that the boy's father has absolutely no work in the marriage. He's just there giving blessings, taking care of the guest. He absolutely has no responsibility.
Oh, okay. No response. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. So the mother manages it. So that means then at the girl's house, at the marriage, then the mother is there. She's the one putting the foot on the stone and doing the different things like that. Then it's her arrangement there. Though she will engage the husband, you know, it means her husband in doing what assisting her, but she's the one that's responsible. So that would be the same at the boy's house. You know, the father may be assisting and making arrangement, talking to contractors, getting this and that done, you know, getting things done, you know, through his ability, but it's under her direction. Yeah. Okay. We'll end here. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.